Hey y'all, it's Melissa here for Teaching Tuesday. And I am excited today to talk to you about faith and love. So I've been studying that a little bit recently and just how they are connected to one another. And the first scripture that I thought of was the one that says, you know, faith works through love, which is in Galatians 5:6. And I'm reading from the Amplified. It says, "For if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith, activated and energized and expressed and working through love." So as I was reading that scripture, it just jumped out at me, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised, which references back in that day, the different races, the different kinds of religion, the different belief systems, the pride that they had in, you know, their certain medical procedures being done, like, and being different than everybody else, right? Because the Jewish people were known for circumcising, and then the non-Jewish or the Gentiles did not circumcise people, right? So Paul, in his letter to the church with Galatia, right, is talking about how, you know, if you're in Christ Jesus, it doesn't matter whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised. It doesn't matter whether you had that medical procedure done or not. What matters is that you believe, right? It matters that you have faith and that your faith is activated, that it's energized and it's expressed and it's working through love. It works by love. Faith works by love. So you have to activate faith through the love of God. And that means a lot of times speaking, right? I know in one of our podcasts we referenced that faith is an affectionate, practical confidence in the testimony of God. That means speaking, right? The testimony of God, God's testifying, and he's talking all the time. And people who are affectionate are showing their love for one another. And so if we have faith, we have an affectionate, practical confidence in the word of God. That means we are showing love to the word of God, talking about him, you know, teaching it, preaching it, talking with the Lord, right? There's interaction. They're spending time. Right? And that's one of the ways that you touch heaven and heaven touches you, right? And moves of the Spirit as well. You know, having God just like minister to you and you minister to the Lord as well. Like, it's a beautiful relationship. And then you are confident in the testimony of God. I was thinking about relationships in general. You know, when you love somebody, you automatically trust what they say, because you love them. Like, that might even be one of the reasons you love them, because you know that they have your back. They have your best interest at heart, that they're going to do what they say they will, right? You have faith in them, and it is motivated because of the love in your heart. Like, you are inclined to believe them, even if, you know, in the back of your mind, you think it might not happen, but you want to believe them, right? Because you love them. With God, when we have faith in God, we do it out of love. Like, love energizes faith, right? Automatically, if we love God, we believe what he says, because it is birthed out of the love in our hearts for him. And so yeah, that's faith, right? Faith works by love. Love energizes faith. It expresses faith. Love expresses its faith. So it's talking, right? It's talking and speaking, and movements are happening. I was reading something on social media, and it was about E.W. Kenyon, and he was talking about the disciples. And the disciples, they worked in great power, right? And they learned faith, but they didn't understand the love aspect as much until Jesus died on the cross. Because it was only after Jesus died on the cross that they could get saved, and because then they actually understood that Jesus was the Savior. Up until that point, they believed that he was the Son of God, and they believed that he was, like, you know, king, and they believed that he was the Messiah, that he was Christ Jesus. They believed a lot of things about him, but they didn't understand him as Savior, right? That he saved their life from hell. That part didn't happen until after, you know, Jesus rose from the dead with resurrection power. Then they could use their faith, was used for soul winning and for situations, because they preached the resurrection. What happened after Jesus came back from the dead and his ascension and everything, like, they got filled with Holy Spirit. They got filled with liquid love. They didn't start their own ministry until they were filled with Holy Spirit and empowered with liquid love, because that was the love that energized their faith in order to bring people into the kingdom of God. And that brought the power and was extremely powerful. I mean, they were working in signs and wonders and miracles before that, but they didn't have as much power behind them as they could have, right? That love, the knowing that Jesus loved them, empowered them and gave them a way to express it. I mean, that's why Peter was able to preach on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 people like came running to the altar to be like, how do we join you as Christians? How do we join like this brotherhood, right? So love expresses faith. Love energizes faith. It doesn't get bored, right? It operates with force and vigor. That's what energizing is, right? It is something that cannot be stopped. It is unstoppable. It is immovable. It is such a large thing, right, that people are going to notice it. And it operates with vigor, right? That's that word, like, it's energized. It is moving. It has got some passion behind it, right? And it produces an effect. Love motivates and energizes faith, and it produces an effect with faith. Faith is to help bring something to pass because you're believing for something. And so you speak over it and you confess it and you bring it out of heaven, right? You bring it from the supernatural into the natural. Love gives power and strength to your faith. And that's a lot of times how we get a conviction, right? We get convicted of something, meaning we are 100% fully convinced. It cannot be separated from who we are. We have a revelation. We have a new mindset in place, right? That just changes how we operate. That is a conviction. And so when love gives power and strength and energizes your faith, it results in a conviction and that produces power, right? Like it's a whole transfer. There's an effect on it. And I think about Stephen, right? Stephen in the Bible was a martyr. And I believe it's in Acts, I want to say 7. I'm looking it up now. Oh, Acts chapter 7 is Stephen's sermon. So it's in Acts chapter 6 that they got some servant leaders in place to help take care of some things. And so it talks about how they carefully selected 7 godly men to help take care of like the widows and the orphans and different things and help serve people because the pastors were all trying to be out preaching and then certain things weren't getting taken care of. And so they chose 7 men. One of them was Stephen, who was known as a man full of faith and overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Okay. Stephen, this is verse 8 of chapter 6 in Acts, says, Stephen, who was a man full of grace and supernatural power, performed many astonishing signs and wonders and mighty miracles among the people. And this upset some men belonging to a sect who called themselves the Men Set Free, who were Libyans, Egyptians, and Turks. And they confronted Stephen to argue with him, right? The Holy Spirit gave Stephen remarkable wisdom to answer them, and his words were all prompted by the Holy Spirit, and so they could not refute what he said. So they conspired in secret to find those who would accuse Stephen of lying, right? And they said that he was blaspheming against Moses and against God. And then, you know, they like riled up the crowd, got everybody all, you know, upset. And they seized Stephen and took him before the Supreme Council, and again, they testified that he was against the temple, against Moses, against God, all those kinds of things. And Stephen then gives a sermon, okay? And that's Acts chapter 7. And so at the end, after he gives his sermon and calls out to the people and tells them basically you're wrong, Stephen ends up being stoned to death. However, this is in verse 55 of Acts chapter 7, which I encourage you to read the story because he goes through the whole history and basically points out like the flaw in their belief system. And they get really upset, obviously, because he's speaking by Holy Spirit. And so, but Stephen was overtaken with great faith. He was full of the Holy Spirit and he fixed his gaze into the heavenly realm and saw the glory and splendor of God and Jesus who stood up at the right hand of God. Look, Stephen said, I can see the heavens opening and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God to welcome me home. And his accusers covered their ears with their hands and screamed at the top of their lungs to drown out his voice. Like, Stephen was, like, yelling with some power. And all of the people, they were agitated by the Holy Spirit. Like, the demons in them were agitated. And then they pounced on him and threw him outside the city walls, and he was stoned to death, right? But as they were hurling the stones at him, Stephen prayed, and he said, "Our Lord Jesus, accept my spirit into your presence." He crumpled to his knees and shouted in a loud voice, "Our Lord, don't hold this sin against them." And then he died. So Stephen had a conviction, right? And he called out the Pharisees, and he was fully convinced about who Jesus was to him, about who Christ Jesus was, and who the Son of God was, and how he had died and resurrected. And he talked about the history behind things, and he was just convicted in his heart about who he was and who his God was. And so he became a martyr because of his conviction. He was the very first martyr. And I was listening to Dr. Jesse Duplantis, and he was talking about how people don't become martyred for their opinion. They become martyred for their convictions. And so Stephen, because of his conviction, like, he first off performed signs, wonders, miracles as he was ministering to people, as he was waiting tables and serving the widows and just helping the community out. And then he also went before the Supreme Court or Supreme Council and gave a message in a sermon there, talking to the leaders and telling them where they were going wrong. Like, he was fully convinced of what was right and what was wrong, and was able to say what he needed to say. So faith, like, he was energized by love, though, because he spoke out, you know, "Don't hold this sin against them." That's what Jesus did on the cross when he cried out, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do," right? He was crying out and shouting, and love doesn't hold any wrongs against anybody. So Stephen was operating in love, even when he was correcting people, even when he was answering in wisdom, when he was helping and doing signs and wonders and miracles. Stephen, he had faith in who his God was, and it was all energized by love. All out of love was the reason that he could do all of those things, because he loved God with all of his heart. Isn't that amazing? I just think that's so awesome. Right? It is the God kind of love, right, that brings life. Because God is love. Right? So, and God brings life. I mean, like, he created us. It talks about that in Genesis 1, right? And even in the beginning of the book of Genesis, it talks about all the things that God created. Like, he breathed life into us. And it also talks about how Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Like, he came in to give us life and life more abundantly. And that's in John chapter 10. So, we want, love brings life. Okay? So, remember that. When you start to feel, like, dead or depressed, or that there's just no life happening, there's no progress, there's no forward motion, bring in love. Right? Because God is love. Bring in the Word. Bring in Jesus. They are the way, the truth, and the life. Like, that is how we want to operate. Love energizes. Love expresses. Love activates faith. And faith pleases God. So speak the Word, read the Word, pray the Word, sing the Word, hum the Word. Like, write songs, write raps, write poems. You know, there's all sorts of kinds of things that you can do to speak the Word. And God is very creative. We can be creative as well, too, to express our love for God. Right? To express love, to activate love, to do all of those things, because that energizes our faith. And faith is what helps bring things to pass, right? Because you're believing for something. It says in Hebrews, it's in Hebrews. It's the last thing I'm going to share. So in Hebrews 11, it says, "Now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It's the evidence, it is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen." Faith takes what is unseen and brings it into the seen realm. That's what faith does. And in order for that to happen, like, we have to have love. We have to believe that God is good and that he is a rewarder. Yeah, that's verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11. It says, "And without faith living within us, it would be impossible to please God. For we come to God in faith, knowing that he is real, that he rewards the faith of those who passionately seek him." Like, we have to know that we're going to be rewarded and that God loves us to reward us. So faith and love, they are hooked in together. faith operates by love. So I encourage you today to study the love of God and to experience the love of God, because that will energize your faith. Okay? Thank you, everybody, for listening, and I hope you have a fantastic rest of the day. Bye!